Good morning, everybody. Again, my name is Theron Pride from the Department of Justice, and Mighty said we could come up here and talk a little bit about ourselves. I know I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but I do like long walks on the beach, and so I'm hoping that I can quickly move through this and then maybe get to some warmer weather. This up here in Boston, I don't know today. It's kind of crisp and cold. But to Catherine's point, what she was saying in terms of the work the Department of Justice is trying to sponsor and support more at the local level, as well as CDC and other partners at Health and Human Services, is this comprehensive approach and really looking at public health as well as public safety. And so I was very happy when Howard asked me to be on this panel and, of course, for the invite to be here with you all today. So with that, what I'd like to do is kind of quickly move through some slides that gives you a sense of maybe why the Department of Justice is involved with this and why we're also talking more about primary prevention. Part of it's because Howard's at the table with us, and so with the CDC at the table pushing it, we're doing a little bit better with our language. But as you can see, and you all know, the statistics here in terms of homicide among young people and just the devastating consequence of kids being exposed to violence often leads to more violence. And so if we are to really address it, we want to intervene early. And the earlier we can do it, the better we can in terms of identifying those kids. We think that in the long run, we can get ahead of some of these costs, both in terms of labor, both in terms of health care, to our criminal justice system. We know we're overburdened oftentimes by a number of juveniles and adults in the system who at some point in their life have been exposed to violence, maltreatment, trauma, what have you, that it now is incumbent, after all we know, of all that we know at this point, to really work together and be more comprehensive, which always makes for a challenge when it comes to presenting these initiatives, because now we have so much to talk about. And so it's often hard to fit it in to 10 minutes, but I've got Mighty looking at me, so I'm going to keep moving. But we'll make sure you have these slides. One thing that we've learned in trying to look at the data and statistics around this problem of youth violence and the way that we've worked on this issue in the past is really that you can't work in isolation. You can't go dark. You can't just stay in your lane. It can't just be about what it is your agency can bring to the table. It can't be just about focus on today, today's crisis. You have to have a long view. You have to have multiple partners. This idea that sometimes a crisis happens and people immediately want to just go right after that, send in maybe a surge of law enforcement, do a big sweep, but then what about tomorrow? What happens for the kids who were exposed to that? Maybe you got the bad actors off the street today, but for the kids and the families that are still in that community, still kind of held hostage by that violence, you know, what more can you do? What needs to be done so that you're really addressing the problem, which really is a systemic problem in many of the communities that we all serve? So we learned through this that we need to so-called turn the lights on and really have cities like Boston and others come together and really share some of the best practices of the work that they're doing around this at the local level and have more leadership, both in terms of your mayors, your chiefs of police, your public health commissioners, getting in a room together and just talking about, you know, what are we doing that works well? What do we know that's proven by science, backed by evidence, but also backed by results? Where are we having the most success and how are we achieving that? So really bringing more cities together to realize that no one community has to do this alone and that there's a lot of cross-learning that can happen. And then we've also talked a lot about, again, moving out of silos. I think the word now is really pushed out there in terms of multidisciplinary partnerships. It doesn't always roll off the tongue, but you all know that we can't be at the table anymore just with our own professions. We have to be working with an array of partners, and like Catherine mentioned, also the youth and the families. I mean, we really need to make sure that they're at the table, and even at the federal level, we're trying to do that to make sure we have their input and their buy-in and their good ideas. And so you can see here, too, again, getting to kids earlier, using data, excuse me, to really find out where the problems are, not going at this alone in terms of a gut reaction, but really looking at what is the data telling us? What do we know from the schools? What do we know from our health centers? What do we know from our law enforcement agencies? What is the community telling us? And to put that together, where are we really identifying the problems? Where do we have the neighborhoods down to the corners where this is happening, we think is enormously important. And then ultimately, the need to work together. So that quickly brings me to the National Forum on Youth Violence Prevention. And Catherine mentioned our other initiative, Defending Childhood, which is focused on earlier kids who are exposed by way of witnessing or directly victims of violence. The National Forum is looking at kids really between the age of maybe 10 to about 24, who are at risk or who have been perpetrators of violence. And we're saying that these kids as well need intervention, and we need to get to them earlier so that if they have problems, be it in school, in the community, there is a response to address that before it erupts into violence. And what Howard wanted me to spend some time on, and I do my best to follow Howard's lead, so he said, listen, you've got to tell this group about the federal role here in terms of the number of agencies that are at the table at the federal level. And with the news cycle, it's often hard for us to get word out about how this administration is really trying to bring more collaboration around this issue at the federal level. So you have the Department of Justice, you have Health and Human Services, which is an enormous agency, CDC, SAMHSA, and others are at the table. Administration for Children, Youth, and Families also. We're talking about things like well-being, primary prevention. We're talking about more holistic, in addition to enforcement and suppression strategies. You know, we've got a ton of lawyers in the room. We've also got a lot of doctors, social workers. We've got people from mental health, people who are talking about substance abuse from our Office of National Drug Control Policy. So we have a range of folks, and even our Corporation for National Community Service, CNCS, is listed here as well. And the idea is that on a monthly basis, we're getting together to really think of what we can do at the federal level to support the 10 cities that we currently have in the forum who are working in this kind of comprehensive way, who've developed these comprehensive plans to address youth violence at the local level. How can we do our best to kind of blend and braid the funding that we have, write our language in such a way that it would incentivize and support more of the work that's happening at the local level? We understand that there's a need, that there still needs to be autonomy and the ability to kind of follow the approach that works best for the particular community, but we also know that there are some kind of core things that all these plans need to have, which is a focus on prevention, a focus on intervention, enforcement and reentry. And so we try to encourage that, and we also have leadership all the way up from the White House in terms of a steering committee that meets quarterly to further bring leadership at the highest levels to bear in terms of the thinking and the policy development around this. And it has proven to really help kind of create a network, both within the federal agencies and within the cities. I've gotten to know Catherine and a host of others from our forum cities, because we try to spend a lot of time either on the phone, in person, in meetings. We did an annual convening at the federal level around youth violence prevention, where we bring our cities and a lot of our stakeholders in to discuss the work. We've also done fall working sessions where we bring people back again to Washington to have these conversations, as well as federal site visits where we bring out leadership at the local level to, again, talk with the mayor, chiefs of police, public health commissioners, and really check in on the work and try to raise awareness and bring attention to the value and importance of all the work that you all are doing. So the goals of the forum really is to elevate this issue of youth and gang violence. And what we know now with the impact this violence has on kids, we think it's enormously important that we address it. The first episode sometimes is even too late. We want to get to them before that even happens. But when there is that episode of violence, we want to take that much more serious and get past this culture of sometimes, well, that just happens and these kids will be able to deal with that. Well, that's not the case. The science is telling us it really impacts a child's development down to the brain and the neuroscience around this. And so that we need to have public health at the table to really, again, help us push that message. And then you can see, of course, systems change is a big part of this for us. We're thinking more and more about it. Obviously, the federal ship is a real hard one to steer, so it is a massive undertaking. But we're really thinking about how can we, at the federal level, do more to work together in terms of the funding that we put out, the training and technical assistance that we have. How can we have that work together so that it encourages more of these collaborations at the local level? And so, as I said before, the three strategies that you see there, much of what Catherine mentioned and what Boston's doing, it's built in, and we just know. You have to have, at a minimum, this push to really follow your data. You have to have, at a minimum, multiple partners, and you really need to be balanced in your approach. It can't just be all about enforcement. You really need to think about primary prevention as well. And so the cities have prepared comprehensive plans that are in the forum, and what they've done is they've brought in their community and their youth and their stakeholders, and they've gone through the kind of tough work of really coming together and figuring out Where's our problem? Where's our needs? What can we do to address it? How can we leverage our existing resources to address this in a very comprehensive way? And so these plans are actually available for other communities. They're up on our website, which I'll post here in a minute. And then our job at the federal level is to really try to support that work, keep people honest about being accountable to their plan, checking in about the progress, and also trying to find additional resources, not even just within the federal, but also in the private sector. So groups like Target and Casey Family Programs and foundations, and making sure people are aware of what these communities are trying to do and saying, hey, if you have an interest that aligns with this work, by all means, consider these cities and think about opportunities to invest further in it, because they've already built this infrastructure. And so you're going to maximize your investment if you invest in one of these communities. So we try to do that as well to support the plans. And then implementing the plans, of course, we push that. We're encouraging them to consider and look at the results, continue to evaluate and assess and adjust their plans. These are living documents. And so as they're evaluating this work, they should definitely be making sure that, you know, it's being assessed and that if it's working, keep working it. But if there needs to be changes, that plans to be a living document that should go back to and update. Add things, take away the things that are not working. Certainly let the data kind of inform that. And then you see here, so findyouthinfo.gov, we have a web page here on this website for youth violence prevention. And we've listed two on this website, our strategic planning toolkit. So any community that wants to engage in this work to develop a comprehensive plan can click on that, can pull up really the steps that these 10 cities went through to develop this plan. And we've already heard from some communities, from Missouri to places in Ohio, that have said, hey, we've used this. We were able to actually put our partners together. We have communities such in Minneapolis that have had actually public health, as well as New Orleans, have their public health department lead it. But one thing is true, it needs a lot of strong support from the mayor, and you want to make sure you have law enforcement as well as education at the table. And again, that community and family piece is so important. And so we also post some of the funding and the other resources that we have available through our various offices also on this website that any community that wants to take advantage of can use. So the forum is not to be an exclusive club. It's not just about the 10 cities. It's also about really sharing a lot of lessons learned broadly and getting that information out. So last, I'll just close with, again, from the president to the attorney general, my boss, there is a big commitment to make sure that we have safer and healthier communities. And you have people, again, in places where you might not think would talk about well-being and primary prevention doing just that. At the Department of Justice, that is definitely a concern of the attorney general. He saw it as a judge, he saw it as a prosecutor, and he's certainly been committed to it ever since he's been at the department to really push for prevention, to really address and take care of some of our most vulnerable populations, which would be our children. And so you can see in his remarks, too, that there is no letting up on this. Despite the climate we find ourselves in, we will not be deterred. We will continue to stay focused. And I think being able to work with our partners in public health, joining forces together, I think we can get there, because ultimately we believe, as you all know, youth violence is preventable. This is not something that we have to live with, and this is certainly not something that this administration is going to tolerate in seeing us just kind of work at this in isolation. It really has been a call to work together. And so it's been an honor to be a part of this. Look forward to having further conversation with you. But I want to get off the stage before Mighty comes and pulls me off. So thank you for your time.